everybody got your cell phones turned off? And second, if there are any thoughts that you have racing through your mind, like, oh, I've got to remember to get the milk, or I've got to remember to call so-and-so, write it on some paper right now, or do whatever it takes to get it out of your mind. Okay? And what I've just asked you to do, first of all, turning off the cell phones and not paying attention to your cell phones or any other electronics, or getting out of your mind whatever's racing around, because I have wild animals that race around in my head. You've just taken two important steps to listening to God by intentionally, and I use the word intentionally, putting away, now is it good? Good? Intentionally putting away the outside world for right now and starting to quiet your mind and your soul and your spirit. And it's a very important step to take, because we are so barraged, even more than our ancestors, by the outside world. You know, our ancestors, when they invented the railroad, they were shocked at how loud a train was. It was shocking to them. And they had a lot of quiet, much more quiet than we did. I want to tell you first a story. I was trying to figure out which one to tell, but a story of my personal hearing from the Lord that has to do with Scripture. We were living on Capitol Hill. I was a new mom. I was very lonely. I had Charlotte, my darling daughter, and there weren't a lot of mothers or families living on the Hill. And I had left a job that I loved and a career that I loved to stay at home. And so I was walking on the Hill, and I was just talking to the Lord, and I was pushing Charlotte, and I can tell you exactly where I was. I can tell you exactly when it happened. It was on a bright spring day in April. I was between 6th and 7th Street, which was the block we lived in. Because when the Lord, when you hear from God, you usually remember something about it. You just remember something. And it has to do with your personality. It might remember, you might remember the color of the sky. You might remember something that's unique to you. But I usually remember time and place because I was a history major. So anyway, so I was, and I had this little New Testament Bible. And I thought, well, I'm not, you know, it's a beautiful day. I'm just going to read some scripture and think about some scriptures I'm reading. And the scripture verse that I read was Psalm 32, verse 8. And this is such a freeing verse. Verse 32, 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And that verse has stuck with me forever because the Lord gave it to me. He spoke to me through the scripture on that day when I was really tumultuous, in a tumultuous season. I didn't know which way was up. And the comfort in that was that he would guide me with his eye. Just like he guided with me with his eye, gave you all extra chat time and got me here today. But he guides you with his eye. Isn't that precious? It's such a freeing thing. You don't have to think about. I mean, you have to be intentional, but it's such a sweet way of telling us that he will lead us and guide us when we want, when we allow him to. A Greek philosopher, Epictetus, said this: God gave man two ears, but only one mouth, that he might hear twice as much as he speaks. Isn't that great that we only have one mouth? Because God wants to talk, and he desires us to listen, and he desires us to talk to him. Now, we're all in different places in our journey with the Lord, but I venture to say that wherever we are in our walk, we want to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit more and more. So, some steps which may seem basic, and I want to talk about some biblical examples that will encourage your faith as we go through this. First of all, I want to pray for us. So if everybody could just bow their heads and listen, that would be great. Dear Lord God, thank you for your love for each person in this room. Thank you for the moment in time that you thought to create each woman, whether it was 1 million years ago, or 1,000 years ago, or 100 years ago, that they would live on this earth, in this part of history, and you brought them to Washington, D.C. to bring your love to this place. Mm-hmm. And thank you that you created us with two ears and only one mouth. Mm-hmm. Come, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal the Father's love for each of us. Reveal the truth and wisdom you have for each heart. Amen.
Amen.
See, hearing and listening to the Holy Spirit is about experiencing at the deepest levels God's unique and all-encompassing love that He has for you and for me. It's a reality. It's not like pleading. It's not intangible. It's a very tangible love. It's as real as sitting on that red chair back there. It's poured into your hearts through the Holy Spirit. And His love ignites hope where there is none. Romans 5:5 says this, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." It's a love affair between God and me, God and you. And it's about developing and nurturing. And I say the word nurturing very intentionally. It's nurturing a heart affair with God the Father. And the realization that He wants to speak to you. And He has much to say to you. Much to say to you. So we're going to start right now. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to John chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, and also verse 14. And you know, I'm going to read these out loud, but I encourage you sometimes when you're being intentionally quiet. And oh, by the way, you know, you don't have to be intentionally quiet by sitting alone in a chair for an hour. Because, you know, that is like overwhelming. That's just not, it might happen early in the morning. But we have a lot of alone time up here in the car, washing the dishes, folding clothes, taking our dog for a walk. You know, when I was pushing my baby girl in her stroller. You redefine what your time is when you're going to hear from God. The Lord wants to talk to you all day long. It's not just when you might have a little quiet time here and there. Okay, so we're going to start it. So, John 10, verses 3 through 5, and then 14. And I'm going to read this out loud. Now, this is the New King James Version, so you may have a different version. So, I want you to listen to this, and as you're listening to the Word, ask the Holy Spirit to tell you something, and He will. The sheep hear His voice. And He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. When He has brought out all His own, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. I'm going to read it again, and I want you to just close your eyes. The sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. When He has brought out all His own, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Think about what you heard or what struck you. Write it down. so you'll remember. We have to write down things, I think. We won't remember them if we don't write them down. And while I'm talking, just keep thinking about what you've heard and write it down. But listen to the verbs in these verses. We hear, he calls, he goes before us, we follow, we know his voice, we are known by him, and we know him. Wow, to be known, what a glorious thing. And we learn not to follow a stranger. We know what voices will lead us down the wrong path and astray. Dave Buring wrote in the intro, as a father desires to share his heart with his children, so God longs to speak into our lives and share his heart with us. In the scriptures, he chooses a variety of ways to communicate or speak to his people, and that is you. Dave encourages us that God has spoken to you, but perhaps you have not yet learned to recognize his voice. God desires for us to hear his voice, but we have to be willing to remove the static or align our hearts and lives to hear from him. So, I love examples because it builds our faith and builds my faith. And I believe that everything that happened in the Bible, everything is happening today. Mm-hmm. It can happen today. It is happening today. It's happening. So, I'd like to look at some biblical examples. And remember, these are ordinary people that God infused with his life to do extraordinary things. These are ordinary people that God used, that God infused with his life to do extraordinary things. And often within the context of the everyday. Because even though they're in the Bible and it's thousands of years ago and we think it couldn't happen today, it does. And so we're going to look at each of these biblical examples as a way to one facet of hearing about God. Okay. First of all, Adam and Eve. And these are examples that Dave gave. Adam and Eve, they're the first parents, and they're our parents. We have their DNA, and we inherit their ability to communicate intimately with God. Genesis 2:19 says this, "The Lord God created every animal, every bird, everything, and brought them to Adam to see what Adam would call them." Can you imagine that scene? They were in intimate partnership regarding the dominion of the earth. And that is still God's desire for you and for him to have that kind of communication. Can you imagine when the giraffe walked up? What had happened? But they were talking. This is a communication. So I want to explore for a minute how we are created to hear from God and the DNA that is in every single one of us that goes back to Adam and Eve and is relevant right now at whatever time it is right now. Mm-hmm. Who has 1 Thessalonians 5:23 through 24? Okay, Sharon's going to read it. If you have to stand up, please do so.
May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it.
Okay. He is faithful and he will do it. And remember those three words, body, soul, and spirit. Who has Philippians 1:6?
Being confident of this very thing, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion in Christ Jesus.
Okay. All right. We are body, soul, and spirit. And that goes back to the way we were created to Adam and Eve. We are body, soul, and spirit. Your body is your physical. I've got brown eyes. I've got sort of hazily. I mean, I've got hazily eyes, brown hair that's been enhanced. And, you know, 5'6", la, la, la. Okay. I have a soul realm. My soul is the mental, emotional, between the ears. My thoughts, my emotions, what I think. And my spirit is what is, when we accept the Lord, When we accept Jesus, that is what is kaboomed with the Holy Spirit of God and comes alive like a nuclear explosion. So that this big black book that seemed like it was mumbo jumbo and didn't make any sense suddenly is alive with sense and truth. And your spirit is alive. And we're body, soul, and spirit. And on those three levels is how the Lord God communicates with us. He communicates with us through the physical. He communicates through us through our minds, through our emotions, through our makeup. I mean, think about it. There are some people who love the color purple and it speaks to them because it's their makeup. I don't really like the color purple, but I love the color green, greeny blue. You know, it's how everybody, is how you're made, okay? Now, the easiest way, so these three words, the physical, the body, soul, and spirit, corresponds with a verse that Jesus gave us in the Bible. Jesus said he said, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And these three words correspond with the physical and correspond with the body, soul, and spirit. The way is your physical, the truth is your mental, life is your spiritual. And that's Jesus, the Lord God communicates to us through all three ways. And the easiest way I can explain that to you is to go back to the Old Testament and tell you how God set it up for the people of Israel to communicate with him through the Spirit. And how he set up the temple, how he set up the tabernacle. He set up the tabernacle with three courts. One was the outer court, one was the inner court, and one was the Holy of Holies. And they correspond with the way, the truth, the life, body, soul, spirit. The outer court was illuminated by physical light, which is your body. It's what you see, it's what you hear, it's how the Holy Spirit communicates with you through the outer court. Through who you are, with what you see every day, with what you know, with we see the car, we get in the car. We see our house, we walk into the house. It's the physical gifts of the Holy Spirit to us. Then the inner court of the tabernacle was lit by these huge eight-branched candelabra, and they were oil lamps. And so that was light that came from illumination. And it's what the Holy Spirit does when he illuminates and speaks to you through your thoughts and through your emotions and through your mental. It's what's illuminated through the Word of God. It's what's illuminated of what you take in. Okay, are we tracking? Am I making sense? Are y'all getting this? Okay. So that's like the inner court. It's what you are feeding yourself. It's what the Holy Spirit is giving you when you go to church, when you're sitting here. It's the illumination of your mind through the Holy Spirit. And in the inner court, like they had all these things that symbolized the Lord. They had the showbread, which was the bread that you ate. There's the wine that you drank. There was all these different symbols that symbolized the feeding of your soul by the Holy Spirit. And that's what God does today, is he feeds our soul by his Holy Spirit through worship, through being here, through reading the Word. Then the Holy of Holies is where the Shekinah glory of God, that's where the Holy Spirit of God dwelt above the ark. And that's our spirit. That represents our spirit. And how the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit through revelation. Through like that, when I was walking along, pushing my daughter in her cart, and the Lord gave me Psalm 32:8, I will guide you with my eye. That was a revelation of the Holy Spirit to my spirit. And you know it. You just know. It's something that you will never forget because it's his spirit speaking to your spirit. And the other ways that he speaks to you through your soul realm and through your body, They're all working together, okay? They're all working together. Now, we are most comfortable with the physical communication. I prayed, I sought advice, and this is what happened. Or even in the soul realm, I prayed, I sought advice, this is what I think. This is what according to my mind and my intellect. The spirit communing to your spirit is not known sometimes as much to us, but I think it can be as natural as any of the others can be. Because I was taught by my mother that we should be supernaturally natural. That's really how we were created, is to be supernaturally natural. That if Adam can come and name all the animals and insects and all the little woolly creatures of the world, that was a supernatural act, if you really think about it, but it happened through his natural being. And it can be learned. It can be learned. So let's look at some biblical examples and some natural day examples. First of all, Abraham. Abraham, in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, I caught Abraham leaving behind the comfortable and being obedient in these verses. And this is what it says. And the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed, including you and me, by the way. So God is giving him guidance and direction, but he's telling him to leave something that's really comfortable. Get out of your land and leave your family. That's kind of hard. And there are times when we must get out from something that is comfortable and something that was okay in the past. And it might have been good. It doesn't necessarily have to be sinful or evil or bad. It could be a very good thing. It could be something that the Lord said, this is for this phase, but not for this phase. That's happened often to me. Something that was okay in the past, but in order for us to have all God has for us, we must leave behind even those things that are good. Because he has something that is new for us. Who has 2 Corinthians 2:17?
I do.
Could you read it out loud?
Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come.
I love that verse because he has new things for me. He has new things that will replace the things that I thought were fabulous because he has something deeper, better, more rich for my time in life that the Holy Spirit will birth and bring into being. And I have to say that when I read this passage, I wondered if perhaps there are some women here who God has asked you to leave something. And it's not necessarily bad, but he wants you to go forward into something that he has for you that's really new. It might be scary, might just be that it's new. So if that resonates with you, I really encourage you to use the scriptures of prayer, 2 Corinthians 2:17, and talk to someone in the leadership and have them pray for you and use the following as godly examples. To help you with it. I want to talk about a modern day example. And there are two books that I would highly recommend. I love to read these books. One is the first book is called Appointment in Jerusalem by Lydia Prince. And you can get it off of Amazon. The Apostle Paul, and Paul Buring talks about this, the Apostle Paul was directed through a vision in Acts 16, 9 through 10, to go to Macedonia. A modern-day example is in this book, Appointment in Jerusalem. In the 1920s, this woman who was at the top of her education profession in Denmark, in the 1920s, so for a woman to be there was unbelievable, became a Christian, encountered the Holy Spirit, and it was if she was living in the days of Acts. God directed her to leave Denmark and go to the Middle East. And it wasn't like the Middle East, we know it. It was far from it. And so this is one account of how she was led. And I'm reading from page 94. She just really obeyed the Lord. And her family thought she was absolutely nuts. And she blew off this guy who really wanted to marry her. Not blew him off, but just didn't feel like she should marry this guy who really wanted to marry her. She just didn't feel right about it. I tried to fight off a numbing sense of fear, hoping that Kitty was not aware of my inner struggle. Involuntarily, I clutched my purse tighter. In it was my passport, my ticket on the ship to Alexandria, Egypt, and my $180 in traveler's checks. After all, I reflected, I would have Kitty's company as far as Alexandria and Ida Gustafson's home to go to in Jerusalem. It goes on to say that when night came on, we each retired to a third-class sleeping bunk, and she went to sleep. Unexpectedly, she's in the middle of a dream. I found myself, so she's dreaming what I'm about to read. I found myself standing in front of a large desk. Opposite me, a dark-complexioned man was seated, with his elbows on the desk and his chin cupped in his hands. His black eyes were fastened on me, as though awaiting the answer to a question. Under the pressure of his continuing stare, I averted my eyes to a strange object that stood on one corner of the desk. It was made of stiff red cloth in the form of a truncated cone, and a black tassel attached to its top hung down one side. Conscious of the man's eyes still fastened upon me, I searched for an answer to his question, but found my throat was dry, and no words came to my lips. Suddenly, the train gave a lurch, and I was aware of the bunk curtain swaying in front of my eyes. I realized that I had been dreaming. So then the story goes on, and they go on to Marseille in France, and she's being told all sorts of things that about getting off in Egypt. And she has gone to the Egyptian consulate, and this is the next day. Leaving Kitty to finish her business, I took a taxi to the Egyptian consulate. After a brief wait, I was ushered into the consul's office. "Good morning, madam," he said in English. "What can I do for you?" "Good morning," I began, but the words froze on my lips. Seated at the desk in front of me was the very man whom I had seen in my dream on the train night before. There was no mistaking the swarthy features and the black eyes fastened on me exactly as I had seen them in the dream. Automatically, I glanced at the far corner of the desk, but even before I did so, I knew with an inner certainty what would meet my eyes. Sure enough, there was a strange red headgear with the black silk tassel. Every detail was exactly as I'd seen it in my dream. With an effort, I turned my eyes back to meet those of the council, aware that he was still awaiting an answer to his question. And then you'll just have to read the book to find out. Okay, so that is one modern day example of what, I mean, that happened to Paul in Acts. It happens today, and that was in the 1920s. Okay, let's talk about Gideon. Hearing and testing to be sure you heard right. That's okay. It's okay to test the word of the Lord. If you think the Lord has told you something, it's okay to test it and to be obedient. So, have you ever heard the phrase, "I'm going to put a fleece out to see if this is what I should do"? It's kind of an old-fashioned saying. Well, Gideon had been directed by the Lord to fight the Midianites, and he tells the Lord that he will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor, and that if there's dew on the floor, on the fleece, and not on the floor, then it's God's will. So, it happens. Gideon wakes up. The fleece is so wet that he wrings it out into a bowl of water, and it's all dry on the floor around him. And then Gideon says, "Look, Lord, don't be mad at me. But can we go round two and figure this out?" And he does. And so it happens. And he said, "But this time let's reverse it. The fleece will be dry, but the floor will be wet." And it happens. And so God did it because, you know, God loves the fact that we want to be in his will.
Yeah.
We want to be in his will. And he loves the desire of a heart that we don't want to get it wrong with him. And that's what Gideon is really saying. He's like, "Lord, I want to do what you want me to do, but I really want to make sure I've got this right, that I've really heard from you correctly." And that's why it's so great to be in a group like this, because there are so many people and women here who know God, love God, hear from the Lord, that they can walk with you through decisions and through life and pray with you and help you see what the Lord's will is. So so Gideon is an example that we are allowed to test something, and we really should test something. The Bible's really clear to test the spirit, test the spirits, because, you know, the enemy of our souls is very clever, and he comes in very many disguised voices, and he can disguise a voice that you might think sounds right, but it's really not right. So it's good to be with others to help you figure that out and to ask for confirmation from God. So Gideon knew he was to go forward and fight the enemy, and he did, and he won. Okay, another example is Samuel learning to hear and obey. So Abraham was leaving the comfortable and obeying, moving on. And again, leaving the comfortable can be moving on into things of God that are a little bit uncomfortable to you. I've had to do that many times. I don't want to do that, but boy, was I glad I did. And then Gideon, hearing and testing to be sure you heard right. And then the example from Paul, that sometimes he speaks to you in dreams. I was an art history and history major. And so, you know, if you're kind of, if you're geared that way, I see things in pictures. Mm-hmm. Yep, people are nodding. I see things in pictures. And so, or movie scenes will come back to me, and I know it's God speaking to me through a movie scene. I mean, that sounds really crazy, but it's happened, especially Lord of the Rings. I don't know why. So anyway, Samuel was going to learn to hear and obey from 1 Samuel 3. And so the Lord wanted to teach Samuel at a young age to hear him through his thoughts, through speaking to him. And in 1 Samuel 3, the small boy Samuel is asleep, and he hears a voice calling his name. And he thinks it's the high priest Eli, but it's not, and it happens three times. First time he thinks Eli's called him, and then Eli finally realizes it's the Lord calling Samuel, because Eli hasn't called him. And he tells him to lie down and listen, for it is the Lord. So there may be times when you will hear something that sort of, I don't know, like, where did that come from? Where did that come from? But you know it's a thought that's not a crazy menopausal thought. you know it's like not some wacko thought. Where did that come from? But you know it's the Lord. And so you need to have example of having friends and mentors, because Eli was Samuel's mentor and friend, who've gone before you on the path when this happens, and you can call them and say, you know, I've had the oddest thing happen, but I think it was God, and have them help confirm that, which is what Eli did for Samuel. And then Mary. I love Mary. I just love Mary. I can't wait to meet Mary. Luke 1, 26 through 38, which we won't go through that whole thing. These are angelic conversations. Obedience and belief. I mean, Mary just sacrificed everything. She sacrificed reputation. She sacrificed the big wedding. She sacrificed the parties. She sacrificed having older women walk her down the path, you know, of life. She sacrificed the baby showers. She sacrificed everything. And Gabriel has shown up, and I saw this movie once where it had Mary, and she was actually making her wedding dress when Gabriel showed up. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that was artistic license, but I thought it was really profound. But Gabriel shown up, and she tells her, you will be the mother of Jesus. And her two responses are really responses that I want in my heart, which is, how will this happen since I'm a virgin? You know, how's this going to happen, Lord, when it's something that's new territory? Mm-hmm. And she believed and obeyed. She said, let it be to me according to your word. Mm-hmm. Let it be to me according to your word. And that often, I think, when we have those responses, I think sometimes the Lord may tell you something or show you something, and you're like, are you kidding? Mm-hmm. And maybe it's what he wants. Sometimes he will test us. Will you really obey? Like, if you go back to Genesis, Abraham had been told, you are going to have nations through Isaac, and then God tests him and says, you need to sacrifice Isaac on an altar. So, anyway, so let it be to me according to your word. Okay, so we have all of these biblical examples, and I want to give you one more modern day example. This book is changing my life. It's called Chasing the Dragon by Jackie Pollinger. Chasing the Dragon by Jackie Pollinger. And I've almost finished it, and I'm so sad that it's over that I'm going to read it again. But Jackie Pollinger is modern day. She is still alive. She is still living in Hong Kong. Inside of Hong Kong was the infamous Walled City. Strangers were not welcome there. Police hesitated to enter, and this is about in the 1960s. It was a haven of filth, crime, and sin. Prostitution, pornography, and drug addiction flourished, especially heroin. Jackie Pullinger had grown up believing that if she put her trust in God, He would lead her. When she was 20 years old, God called her to the walled city, and she obeyed. And as she spoke of Jesus Christ, brutal hoods were converted, prostitutes retired from their trade, and heroin junkies found new power that freed them from the bondage of drug addiction. Now, I just want to read you one little thing from the book. Okay. She has gone to a meeting in the walled city, and here, and she's encountering some things of the Holy Spirit that are very new to her. And so she's in this meeting, and the meeting, however, was orderly and calm with normal prayers and psalms, because she was a little nervous. She thought, the Holy Spirit, that is really bizarre. Mm-hmm. And let me just say one thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is orderly and calm. And the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will never, ever, ever push himself on you. But you can always say to the Holy Spirit, here I am. And he will show you what he wants to show you. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so it was orderly and calm with normal prayers and songs, and there was no booming voice from God talking to me. Then it came. It was not a great booming voice at all. Someone was speaking quite quietly, and I was completely sure that it was meant for me. Go, trust me, and I will lead you. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you with my eye. There it was, what he had been saying all along, but now it was underlined. I was sure that God had my life in hand, and then he was about to lead me somewhere. Same verse he gave me. Sorry, I don't normally cry, except, so... I don't know that thing about God. Okay, so but that was the exact same verse that he had given me on Capitol Hill. So I thought that was so appropriate. Okay, so I'm going to wrap this up with some practical things. How many of you drink tea here? Okay, or coffee. I was going to use this as an example, but the traffic kept me up. Next time you make a cup of tea, pretend like you're the water, and God, through the power of Jesus and His Holy Spirit, is a tea bag. When you put that tea bag into the water, what happens? It changes. And that's what happens when God comes into your life through Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, is that you change. And you can't tell the difference between the water and the tea. But you're a different substance. And so the Holy Spirit will infuse you with life. The Holy Spirit will infuse you with His life. So just remember, and same thing with coffee, because you have to, you know, the coffee goes down, drips down. So it's same concept. But so just remember that when we ask the Lord to infuse us with His life, He will. As simple as putting that tea bag in the water. It's just to be open. So, here are a few thoughts. There's a moment in time when He thought to create you in order for you to be in a deep, intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father through His Son, empowered by the Holy Spirit. He desires the relationship passionately. His thoughts about you, and His thoughts are about you, and He wants to share with you His thoughts, and they are as numerous as the sand. Psalm 139:17-18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. God's thoughts about you are as numerous as the sand on this earth. Pretty amazing. Okay. And you have to give the Holy Spirit the opportunity and the space to speak to you, just like we did today. And also, you have to, when we read the words and when you spend time with the Lord, you're giving the Holy Spirit something to Velcro onto. Mm-hmm. You can't just walk into this like, here I am. It's got to be intentional. When you spend time with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit through the Word and prayer, or if you're in your car, turn on some music that is about Jesus. You're giving the Holy Spirit something to glom onto, to Velcro onto, to a hook in your soul. Pray something like this. Come, Holy Spirit, reveal the Father's love to me. Reveal the truth and wisdom you have for my heart. Or even just as simple as, come, Holy Spirit, come, which is the most ancient of prayers. Mm-hmm. You've opened your spirit up to the Holy Spirit and to hearing from Him. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then five little tips, which we've already talked about. One, learn to be quiet. Mm-hmm. Learn to be quiet. Learn to still your soul and your mind and your spirit. It's a learned trait, just like you're learning to drive a car. The more you practice quieting your heart and soul, and I don't mean that you have to be always quiet, but learn to be in tune to what that inner voice is saying to you, that's the Lord. The more you practice quieting your heart and soul, the easier it will become and the easier it will be to enter into His presence. If you look at the book of Nehemiah, which is in the Old Testament, Nehemiah was a servant to one of the greatest. He was a slave, and he was a servant to one of the greatest kings on the earth in Babylon. And he wanted to go back to Jerusalem to help rebuild the walls. And this mighty, mighty king, who could have thrown him into the dungeon at any time, said to him, "What is wrong with you? You look awful." And he was very sad, and he didn't know what to do. And in 1 second, he prayed, "Lord, what do I say?" And in 1 second, the Lord told him what to say. So sometimes you might find yourself in a really difficult conversation, like at a cocktail party, and somebody's saying something about Jesus, and you don't know what to say. And I promise you, the Holy Spirit can speak to you in 1 second to show you what to say, and it'll all be in love, and it'll be okay. Learn to be quiet. Learn to still your mind so you can hear the Holy Spirit. Learn to commit your day to the Lord. Here's a short prayer. Lord, I commit this day and all that is in it to you. Amen. Mm-hmm. Lord, I commit this day and all that is in it to you. Amen. And, you can either do it while you're lying in bed. You can get up and go to a certain place so you don't fall back to sleep, but that's a way to do it. Set aside your time with Him. Turn off your phone. What we did earlier. Set aside some time with Him. Learn to just sit quietly for several minutes and just get quiet. Just learn to just settle down. and sometimes, after I sit quietly, I have to prime the pump, and I have some really great books that I use. I use Jesus Calling. I use several books that are really, really just little devotionals. Everyone has some devotionals that they use that has been very meaningful to me. You gave me a great, Linda Connor gave me a great book that I love. You have to sometimes start the engines going through a little something. Turn off the noise, which we've already talked about. Turn off the... What are you listening to? It is so easy to have the TV on all day or the radio on all day or constantly be looking at your computer or whatever. So just be really... Try to moderate that. Okay, this is something I learned from a really good friend named Heidi. Take a Sabbath day one day a week. Mm-hmm. Well, she learned it from God. God can do more with me in 6 days if I give Him one day. Heidi Scanlon. God can do more with me in 6 days if I give Him one day. Learn to have a day of rest. And it, the day of rest, let's see, what are the three rules? Is it fun? Is it restful? And what's the third one?
Does it draw my affections to Christ?
Does it draw my affections to Christ? Mm-hmm. Does it draw my affections to Christ? Is it restful? And is it fun? All right, be at peace. Be at peace. What I talked to you to about earlier, if you've got thoughts running through your mind like wild animals, get them out of your mind and don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay? So trust and thankfulness will guard God's peace within you.
Did I go over?
Oh. Trust and thankfulness will guard God's peace over you. And then if you can't settle down, you might need confession. If there's something really bothering you, you can't get at peace, there may be something that you need to confess to the Lord. And those are just some things to think about. If you can't settle down and get yourself quiet, go to the Lord and say, is there something between you and me that we need to get right? And then just be released. Be released to move on. This is not a type A exercise. Washington is full of type A's. This is, we are not human doings, we are human beings. And so a lot of this is to just to be and allow the Holy Spirit to show you how to be with Him and not do with Him. And I think that's about all I have today.
Thank you.